Welcome to the 40K Lorecast.
Welcome to 40K Lorecast with me, John Barsotti, and Brad Chester.
This guy.
Today, we'll be diving into the gray sharks of 40K, which interestingly is the name my son and his teammate named their soccer team. And I love him to the end of this earth. But they were so bad. Like, it broke me how bad they were at soccer. Like, I think the act of kicking the ball made the kids fall more often than it moved the ball.
I can back this up. Not that I was there, but I did talk to you during this soccer game.
It was horrible. I was so...
And you had to point that out multiple times.
I was raging at, like, wow, I don't know what to do. He's much better now. I mean, that was years ago. He's much better now, but I still had that moment of, wow, this is hard to watch.
And as are all children's sports.
I know. It's okay. 40K Lorecast, the weekly show on the lore of the Warhammer 40K universe, releasing every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Please follow and comment on the cast, as it does help us out quite a bit. We are currently the number one 40K Lorecast globally, and that's because people like it, comment, and listen. So thank you. Also, if you like the cast, you want to hear more of Brad and I, click the link to our YouTube page, the 40K Lorecast. There we've got the old versions of this show, our Q&A sessions. We've also got the links to the history of 40K with Brad, myself, and a guest. And now, well, it was kind of recorded. Two old men and their handler. Brad did, and I have to admit, he sent this to me. It was beautiful. I looked at it. The imagery was nice. Organization was nice. But there was one thing missing. What was missing, Brad?
So I may or may not have had a hot mic.
Yeah.
So when I say may or may not, I said not.
Yeah, we didn't have audio. So it's coming very shortly. At the time of release of this, I guess within a week or so, you guys will have it. So we have that. Also, on today's cast, you know what we're going to try and not do? Go into tachycardia. What do you think?
Whatever.
No guarantee.
I want the tachycardia compared to how I feel today. Yeah. Can I trade out?
Yeah, today brought to you by mind-numbing migraine. Oh. In the show notes is also a link to our Patreon. Massive thank you to everyone who's contributed. Ready as always, Patreon's really a great way for us to kind of help grow this cast, and a lot of you have been helping us out with it. We only have one tier in our Patreon, and it gets you this show and the 40K and the history of 40K ad-free, and it's $4.99 or 32.06 Danish krone. I think that's how you pronounce it, by the way, because maybe you, like me, are afraid of heights and would like to never have to experience that fear. Well, good news. You can move to Denmark because it's one of the flattest countries on Earth with a high point, I looked up, of 561 feet, which is lower than some buildings I've been in. or 171 meters because it is Denmark. We should probably respect their measurement system. It's also great if you like riding bicycles, which, because it's the primary mode of transport there, which is cool. But it's not saying much when you're also one of the flattest countries on Earth because you pedal three times and just kind of coast, as opposed to like Bhutan, where I'd be more impressed. If you move to Bhutan and use a bike to get around, you have calves.
I'm from Ohio. There's nothing wrong with being flat.
Ugh. Fun thing, though, also, because I do want to have some interesting features, and I didn't know this. Denmark is a massive agriculture country, and pigs are one of their big ones. The pigs outnumber the people in Denmark 2-1. I had no idea.
Also, as someone that's very short to the ground, the Danes are very, very tall.
Yeah, they're not the Dutch. I don't even think you can go to Holland, candidly. I you'd have to bring a stool in to turn the showers on. This whole country sucks. Last piece about Denmark, for those who don't know, they also own Greenland, which is impressive because Greenland is 50 times larger than Denmark. By the way, that's them. Lastly, we also have our Discord, link to it in the show notes. It's growing really well. We've got a lot of kind of great little features in there now. Our new moderator team, we expanded our moderator team, and it's gotten a lot better. They've added some new features, some new channels, a lot more functionality. So if you like Warhammer 40K, really any element of Warhammer 40K, jump in, enjoy yourself. There's literature, there's gaming, there's a lot of memes. I think we have our own art channel for if you make your own art, everything. And I haven't thanked the mods in a while, and I finally had the list in front of me. So here we go. Thank you to Savage Duck, Ars, Toba, Tyrant, Herr Schmidt, Zemsta, Jay, Solarzia, also congratulations, Cthulhu, Query Travely, Maestro Ryben, Steve, Gers, Noogles, Awargamon, Twin Demise, Curl, Slaanesh's Chosen, and Silva. Yeah, we have a lot of mods, but when you're at almost 11,000 members, you need to have lots of mods. Also, I just want to do a quick little shout out to Ben, who I was in Arizona for work and ended up being my Uber driver and listens to the show. So, hey, dude. Anyway. all right, but let's get into the meat of this thing, Carcharodons. And I want to start off with the simple question. I think a lot of you will be asking, honestly, what the hell is a Carcharodon?
And space shark.
Yeah, I think, and I want to cover it a little bit. I do know that thanks to discussions with GW that I've had, that the overwhelming majority of 40K fans are really more tacit fans. They find the game and the lore cool and interesting, but they don't endeavor to read every book, Codex, White Dwarf, etc. And I didn't really talk GW to know that, but they told me, so screw it. We'll go with it. And I should call out that a lot of people for that reason probably aren't aware of the Carcharodons because they're not in any codex and they've only personally ever seen the one army painted this way. And I will say, like, after doing my research, I don't own a Space Marine army currently. I own Death Watch, but that's kind of, that's so-so.
Space Marine adjacent?
Yeah, I need to build a Space Marine army. And one of the things I'm doing is we've got a lot of requests for Carcharodons, Astrals, Minotaurs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And one thing I am going to do at the end of doing a bunch of these, I'm going to pick one and paint them. And Carcharodons right now are kind of sitting in that. They're sharks, which is cool. They're gray, which is pretty easy to paint, if I'm being honest. And I got some fun with it. So we'll see how this goes. But anyway, the Carcharodons. Quick overview on them. They are an exiled Space Marine Legion, but they are loyal to the Emperor. So they're more pseudo persona non grata within the Imperium. Why and to what extent we'll be covering in depth, but
yeah,
the short
they're terrible. Sorry, everybody that loves your sharks, they're bad, bad people.
Yes, I mean, the truth on them very simply is they're a nomadic chapter that do all their work on the edges of the galaxy, basically,
way edges of the galaxy,
yeah, on the dark space. They're known for two things, stealth and brutality, and it's really more the second one. These guys are dirty. They fight dirty. They play dirty. They are rough. Now, they do have a series of novels that are pretty good. There's three of them, if I'm not mistaken.
Three of
but
them.
Their
three
main, series. Yeah, their main appearance and a lot of like the main lore that we'll talk about here came out of a Forge World publication back in 2011. It's called Imperial Armor 10, The Badab War. This is key because while we have had a regular game going on with the codexes for 40K, there was another company called Forge World. And Forge World is really, depending if you're a competitive player or a casual player, your opinion of Forge World will be quite different. And the reason I say this is Forge World made additional models for the game. Some of them were so overpowered, they actually got banned within the game. And when I say some of, I kind of mean most of them. But Forge World at the same time, if you're more of a lore person, wrote epic stories around the stuff to bring into the game. So for example, Forge World is where Death Corps of Creed comes from. They were never a Codex army. They were always a Forge World thing. They made amazing models, but the really cool story behind the Creed, because I think where a lot more of the players got into them. Yes, they also gave us the Leviathan and Contemptor Dreads, Decimators. Those were fun for a while, weren't they, Brad? Brass Scorpions, the Manta.
Auto Mortals.
Oh, yeah. Automotive, the Manta, which wasn't really good, but when someone would play it, what do you do about it? And more. But they also gave me my Gargantuan Squiggoth, which is one of my favorite things in my entire collection of 40K, and my Krieg army, who I also really like. And, you know, I also should, I didn't play in 5th, 6th, or 7th, so the real nasty that was Forge World didn't affect me. But I understand for those of you who hate Forge World to the end of this earth. Yeah, I get it. I saw the Decimator rules too. And 7th edition Decimators were wrong.
I mean, we'll just go with everything was wrong. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, but Decimators were horrifying. All right, but my point is that if you've never heard of the Carcharodons, that's cool and it's kind of expected. And if you have, I hope that we do them justice here because they are pretty badass. So let's get into Carcharodons. Carcharodons are an unknown origins. The only the most encrypted records with the Imperium know their true history. And to this point, no Inquisitor has been able to find them.
I do like that. One of the drawing points for a lot of people with them is they're shrouded in mystery and they're very crazy about what they do. They use questionable tactics, and their founding is one of those because it also has conflicting. So I think a lot of people love the keeping the mystery in 40K.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, this is when we talk about some of these off chapters, these would be one. I mean, Legion of the Damned are really wild, but even like Blood Ravens from the Dawn of War series, they have an unknown origin, and people tend to love that. I actually like it too, so I'm leaning this way into building my new army. Now, let's talk a bit more about them. So what we know about the Carcharodons is at some point their Primarch sent them out to the edge of the galaxy to hunt down the enemies of the Imperium with impunity. Which Primarch was it? Unknown. And we'll cover that at the end of this cast. Brad and I are going to do some John and Brad theorying. But what we know is it happened before the Horus Heresy or right up around the outbreak. It's been moved around a bit, but the most recent lore points to them.
Depending on the book that you're looking at. Also, yeah, the novels and the Imperial armor are all, they do conflict themselves, yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of time between the two of them, unfortunately. And so we've covered this before, that Space Marine chapters operate with a good amount of impunity in the galaxy. The Carcharodons are totally different. They are effectively independent in their actions, most similar to the Black Templars, because the Carcharodons exist to engage and slaughter the enemies of the Imperium, whether they're Xenos, Chaos, or Traitor.
Which is really weird because they are exiled. They are actually...
Yeah. Oh, they are bad as there's some other exiles who are actually more. But the Carcharodons are loyal. That's the most important thing I want to point out. They are loyal to the Imperium. They're bad at being loyal. They're the most chaotic good group you could possibly ever see.
Chaotic good.
I mean, they're chaotic good, but their chaos level, people would be like.
They are not good.
Well, they are. No, their alignment is good. They're so chaotic, they don't always do good. Is it kind of how, that's why they're a great definition of chaotic good. It's just not a well-accepted one when you're on the receiving end of it. So.
I was just, you know, anytime you try to say chaotic good, and then I have to talk to you about red tithes in a little bit here.
Yeah. Now. The Carcharodons have a very specific set of skills. They will find you, and they will kill you. And yeah, so maybe if I do a Carcharodon army, I should 3D print a Liam Neeson head on the Chapter Master.
Red Wake will have a problem with you.
I'm sure they will, but I'm also a big fan of Darkman. So maybe I'll just make him Darkman and call it a day.
Oh, you bring it up an obscure movie reference. Yes, love it.
Darkman's not an obscure movie.
Darkman is fully obscure.
If you haven't seen
Darkman,
that's on you. That's on you.
I've seen Darkman, but I see everything.
Oh, Darkman's fantastic. Ugh, why do they remake that stuff? Maybe we're making the garbage stuff. I mean, hell, he's still alive. You can just use him. Anyway, in doing the Carcharodons' work, they're traveling dark space of the galaxy, and they appear almost at random. Not Legion of the Damned random. Another army.
No, they don't just warp in.
Yeah, but the Carcharodons sit out in the darkness of space. They never contact the Imperium, but that's just a rumor. There's so much mystery and intrigue within the Imperium. It's entirely possible the Carcharodons have a direct line to the Lords of Terra. It's entirely possible. But they're so far out, what's important about them is they sit beyond the sensors, so no one even knows where they are. And the only contact the Imperium has with the Carcharodons is when they suddenly will appear to fight a foe of the Imperium. After which they will kind of leave.
Peace out.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. Now, the cool part about the Carcharodons, I'm going to say this is a cool part, unless you are near them, which point you won't think this is so cool. They operate in an odd way to keep their numbers and equipment up. They raid planets for initiates and slaves. More on that in a bit. As well as,
hold on, red tithes.
Yeah.
Go to the second one, though, because they raid and pillage so much that they have different names for what they're pillaging for. Yeah.
Well, they have different pillaging processes. They've got the red ties.
Red ties and gray ties? Yes.
Yeah, because they also go through it and pick up technology while they're out there. And even their fleets themselves appear to be stolen. Like they actually steal ships and then customize them and, you know, for what they could scrounge around. What is most important about them, though, is their tactics. They are masters of stealth. They wait for the most opportune moment and then strike with brutal force when they hit, creating an opening and then pouring through the gap with genuinely horrifying efficiency. They leave nothing but slaughter behind them. And I'll be honest, I'm not really sure how to cover them in more of a linear fashion. So we're just going to kind of move around a little bit because I just said slavery, initiates, raiding. We just did, I don't know what order to do them in.
So and we're just gonna chaotic good. Thank you very much. You got a problem with your alignment wheel, bro.
They're chaotic good.
They are not chaotic good.
They are. They're not neutral. They've never sided with chaos. They've never sided
they
with
the Xenos. Bad things.
They've never sided against the Imperium. That's my point.
You know what? As I'm being taken onto a ship as a slave, I'm not checking chaotic good on the
wheel. Oh, you're not.
Wheel.
I agree, but my point is that other chapters have done things with Xenos. Other chapters have aligned with enemies of Imperium. These guys haven't. They're just nuts. Like they're just out of their minds. All right,
we're gonna have a talk about good soon.
We're gonna have a big chat about this. So let's just get going with it. So a second ago, I mentioned they have slaves. And let's talk about how the Carcharodons replenish themselves, because it might be one of the most interesting pieces of it, and it's a key part of two of their novels. So they're a mix of chaos and loyalist in some of their behaviors, to my point about chaotic good, which is why later I'm going to have some strong opinions about their true origin. But all of the chapters of Space Marines have massive fleets, homeworlds, or at least in the case of like Fists and their successors, fortress worlds they can pull from. In addition, they all recruit from the Imperium for like support staff, crews for their ships, armories, etc. The Carcharodons as an exiled chapter don't do that. So they have to fill their ranks with what they can scrounge up out basically in the void of space. So let's talk slavery. I'm going to say that in a positive note so that we don't get banned. The Carcharodons have three big needs: equipment, marines, and personnel. And we're going to start with the personnel. And we'll cover it later, but the Carcharodons are not the Black Templar when it comes to the Imperium poster boys. While the Carcharodons and the Black Templar will both ruthlessly prosecute their enemies, the Black Templar don't just slaughter countless innocents while hunting down their enemies. Yeah, we're going to get to the Badab War at some point, guys. So let's just say
it's part of their tactics also.
That's why, their aggressive tactics don't have a lot of fans in the local population. Big air quote in the word fans. Yeah. So after they, because with the Black Templar come through and they, you know, wipe out this Xenos or this chaos incursion, and they sit there and the populace goes, the Black Templars are here. And they come to them, hey, how can we join you? What can we do to help you? You just saved me and everyone I know. I want to help the Black Templars. The Black Templars say, well, if they're young enough, you can go try and become a Black Templar. And if you're not, you can come be support staff. When the Carcharodons finish where they're at, everyone is just making that face of, please let them leave. Are they leaving yet? So this lack of volunteers leads the Carcharodons to volunteering a bunch of the populace to come join them. And by join them,
until morale improves.
Yes. And yeah. And by join them, it means come hop on our ship that's going to travel in the blackness of space. And by the way, these guys are super dour, so it's not like a fun group to hang out with. So instead, they just take a tithe of the local populace.
I like that you just put a tithe, though, because a lot of times they take the populace.
Yes, it's happened a couple of times where they've actually it depends. So here's what I'll say. Depending on how far into the galaxy they are, they take a different percentage. And that's based on if it's a fringe world, they can take the whole populace because they're too far from Imperium. Yeah, for anyone to care. But when they've done a couple events, and Badab's one of them, where they've been closer to the galactic core, in that case, they just take a decent percentage. They understand their rules. Now, we use the word
Chinese flavor. Downhill. There are no rules.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those things where when we say they take slaves, I mean, we're talking, I wouldn't compare it to like the horrific stuff out of North Africa and Southeast Asia. This is more, I think, meant to be akin to the press gangs that we saw in merchant fleets like the 16th and 17th centuries, because they don't buy and sell people. They just take them against their will and make them work until they die. So maybe, maybe they're all doing sea shanties. What do you think? Do you think you're walking around a Carcharodon fleet and people are just harmonizing?
100%.
Soon may the Wellerman come. Man, you know?
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what I was thinking when I just got stolen. You know, guys, let's sing us a good sea shanty.
It would be funny. It would actually be really funny if that's what the Carcharodons are going planet to planet with sea shanties playing behind them.
Tens of thousands of people getting stolen.
Yeah.
Singing the Wellerman.
Yeah. You're going to sit right here and you're going to work on this engine. And by the way, when that bell rings, you sing, and you sing well, or else, because the truth is they do treat these guys like garbage, by the way. It's pretty rough when you read the stories. The viewpoint that they have is not strong. The viewpoint they have is quite strong in the superiority of a space marine versus a regular human. Now, I do want to point out real quick, a little diatribe here. This is different than the rest of the Imperium. All right, not all of the Imperium, but for the most part, the populaces of the Imperium are not enslaved. They're just kind of trapped in like a cycle of horror, which is probably way better.
I like that you need a thesaurus because you keep saying something's the same.
Well, okay, so I do want to talk about, because when we talk about the Carcharodons, I'd be like, oh, it's not that different. No, it really is. Because if you're on a hive world, for example, you have a job in a factory. You need to do that job, but you're not enslaved to that job. You could stop, but it's your only employment. So, and people do this. They do leave jobs and they go become merchants. They become, you know, workers on a space vessel, or they join a criminal organization. They do this. Even the Guard and Imperial Defense Forces are really not that different from most modern militaries. You sign up for a set period of time. If you try to leave early, the commissar shoots you. All you have to do in the Guard, for example, is just serve until the Imperium successfully defeats Chaos, all of Rhinos, and puts down every single rebellion in the galaxy, and then you just go home. So it's kind of cool, right?
I mean, that's probably going to happen soon.
Yeah. But the Carcharodons are more like astrotelepathic in how they handle psychers that don't get to be librarians or inquisitors. No autonomy, and you will do what you're told. And if you try to not do what you're told, I will either just kill you or you are added to the Astronomicon as fuel. That is how the Carcharodons treat their people, their humans that are on there. They are pressed into service. They will do the task given to them by their new lords. And if they disagree, the airlock's right there. Just simply put.
And one of us is wearing power armor, which is sealed.
Yeah. They're pretty gross. So the Carcharodons also possess tens of thousands of Voidborn within their fleets, who are just obviously generations of slaves. Yeah. They're not great.
Yeah, definitely chaotic good, John. Let's continue on.
Yeah, they're chaotic good. Well, I guess the reason the Carcharodons are this way is they've been separated from the Imperium for 10,000 years. And when the Carcharodons originally came up, this was the time when the Space Marines weren't just an elite arm of the Imperium. They were the Imperium. The Emperor's plan was to take 1 million Space Marines and conquer the galaxy with them. All the regular men and women around them were support. You know, Fulgrim and Gilliman and Sanguinius, they were kind of cool to the squishy humans who were around them, but Leman wasn't. Angron obviously wasn't. Even Horus didn't treat the guardsmen that were around him very well. He viewed them all as collateral and either use them to get in the way of stuff or just told them to get out of the way while I go do something. So if you think about the Carcharodons from that perspective, they come from this era. So they see humans as just horrifically inferior. They have fear. I guess they can both get poisoned.
God damn it. I mean, one of the biggest thing for why they look down on them is because Marines have a focus and a drive because they're made to do a certain thing, and they think that all regular people just don't have purpose. And yeah. it kind of disgusts them that they don't. Why aren't you doing the thing you're supposed to be doing? Also, what is the thing that you're supposed to be doing?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is also it's seeing fear within someone bothers Marines. They understand it because you think about it. Like we call it, they shall know no fear. It's true, though. It doesn't work in the tabletop.
That is their rule, is they shall know no fear.
Yeah, but that's the idea, is a Space Marine never has fear. They might be timid going into something because they want to preserve forces, but they don't have fear. So when they see fear, it just bothers them to their core, depending on the level. And if you think about a Carcharodon who lives out in the blackness of space, randomly attacking the enemies of mankind, they're not a big fan of someone saying, hey, it's scary over there. But let's talk about how you make a Carcharodon, because this is also terrible and horrible. All Space Marine factions take casualties. Carcharodons are no different. And when they take casualties, they have to preserve the gene seed. At the same time, Space Marines do have a limited lifespan. I mean, it varies, obviously, in the hundreds of years, but the Carcharodons have been out there for 10,000, so you've had to replace them a little bit. Now, most Space Marine factions get aspirants, and then you add the gene seed to them and turn them into Space Marines.
Neophytes.
Yeah, neophytes. Become scouts. The Carcharodons have a little bit of a problem, which they're not really that full of volunteers. And there's no recruiting world. So they're going to do something called a red tithe, which actually sounds better than it is. Like, if we're being honest. So a red tithe is Viking raid on a settlement. During the red tithe, the Carcharodons will pick a human off an imperial planet. They will descend upon the planet and just start kidnapping citizens.
Yeah, not like one or two. A metric ton of bros get picked up.
Yeah. Now, in the book, is it Red Tide? I think it's the book. They targeted the planet Zartak, which was a prison colony.
It's the first one.
Yeah, it was implied. Maybe when they do this, they're not going to Agri Worlds and taking everyone. They're targeting prison colonies, which, I mean, that's...
They're going to any world, let's be honest.
That's, yeah, exactly. I don't believe that for one second. And so they'll either straight up raid the place... Or the other one that they will do is if a world is under assault from rebellion, Xenos, or chaos, they will attack. And they will slaughter all of the enemies. But afterwards, they will walk up to the Imperial Governor and inform him that, hey, we did a pretty cool thing for you. If you could take some people back.
Also, it is pretty scary because the Carcharodons like to fight melee combat. So it is pretty terrifying that these guys just chainsworded everyone to death.
Yeah. And then walk up to you, still dripping, and saying, so we lost some people and some supplies. Wonder if there was a way you could make that up to us. Yeah. And the Imperial Governor is like, well, how many do you need? And they'll come back with, we'll let you know when we're done. And the Carcharodons take them up. So whichever method they go, they fill their hold with people, and the Carcharodons divide them into three groups. Group one are the serfs, which is the slaves, but they call them serfs, so I guess that's better. Group two are the ones who refuse to become a serf. Group two isn't around very long.
Otherwise known as dead people.
Exactly, yeah, that was easy. But group three are the special ones. These are the people that could be turned into Space Marines, also known as preteen boys. That's what they are. The Carcharodons label the entire group as aspirants. Did they ask to join this? No. Did they express any interest in doing this? Also, no. Not important. Don't ask weird questions. The group is then taken to the battle pit part of the ship, and they fight each other to the death until only a few are left. That's it. That's the Carcharodon method.
It's a battle royale, basically.
Yeah, with two weapons, and those that survive, literally, they're then put through the process of having a gene seed implanted, during which they also go through a lot of indoctrination. Not a John opinion. That's written in the books, which kind of makes sense because they have to take a bunch of people who didn't want to be a Space Marine in the first place, made them all fight each other to the death, and then turn them into super soldiers. So in that second part, you probably want to make sure that they're loyal. So they go through this mass of indoctrination. And this is how the Carcharodons keep themselves up with a functioning fighting force. Now, you might be asking a fun question. how the hell are they allowed to do this?
Well, technically, there's two technicallys. One, they're not. Two, they are.
Yeah,
they're not because they're in exile. They're not supposed to be doing any.
But they're not. The difference is when we say they're exiled, they are in exile. They are not excommunicated, which when you say exiled, it falls to the earth.
True.
So the joke I had here is they have an old code, but it checks out. Effectively, they've got some orders from very long dead lords of Terra that allow them to do these things. And these orders,
all I'm thinking is that they have the piece of paper that Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec has, which just says, I do what I want.
Well, it's funnier than that because what it really is, this piece of paper, we don't know how old it is or how old this writ is, but much like a rogue trader, a warrant of trade, it's the same thing. Because this was signed by someone who was a Lord of Terra, it's good forever. So they can't just rock up to an Imperial colony and say, we're here for your people. This says I can have them.
It was Ted. It was Ted, the Lord of Terra.
Totally was.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
40K Lorecast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are all things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings may vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Now, one other fun thing that they do that's less horrifying is gray tithes. The issue with the edge of space is it's pretty dangerous out there. And a lot of explorers have gone out there searching for a world to settle, resources to gather, relics to gather. And in their travels along the dark edge of the galaxy, the Carcharodons have come upon the remains of many said explorers because
Let's also talk about this. Yes, that happens quite a bit. But also, if you and I are standing with a piece of archaeotech and the Carcharodons decide they want to roll down and grab it, it's pretty much a get your own chump. We're taking this.
Yeah. And so the Carcharodons, they're always in the search for like archaeological sites or people currently holding technology. Again, it's the edge of the galaxy. I played a lot of Wing Commander Privateer. That's where these guys are playing in. And the Carcharodons are trying to find this technology because with it, they can then do one of two things. They can either use it for themselves, or they can trade it back with the Mechanicum. Because, this is why I was saying, they are in exile, but they are not exiled. The Carcharodons are allowed to interact with the Imperium. They are not.
I also don't know if the AdMech would care. But
they don't either way. Yeah. The AdMech would do it no matter what, but they actually can do this above board. So the Carcharodons are space marines. So the pact between the Imperium and the Mechanicum still stands. As such, when they find technology, they're expected to share it with the Mechanicum, and the Mechanicum are expected to share technology back to them. And this is how the Carcharodons are able to replenish their equipment, which, this is a side note for me, as I said, when I'm thinking about building an army, one challenge you have is when you want to build a Carcharodon army, can you use, what models can I use? Because in theory, all Carcharodons should be firstborn Marines, and they should be using equipment from the Horus Heresy-ish. You know, power armors, all those things. But what about Primaris Marines? Because Primaris Marines were created by Kahl, and thus the AdMech. So can the Carcharodons trade with the AdMech to get Primaris Marines?
See, but that's the thing. We have a couple of disagreements on this. I think they can. We talked about this when you were talking about building your army. Because of the fact that the Carcharodons trade with the AdMech, you can get the knowledge how to make Primaris now from the AdMech, bringing it from Kahl.
Yeah, I guess so. Because it would suck. Otherwise, like 50% of the line you couldn't use. And if I'm going to build a Carcharodon army, especially given the melee army.
They're getting new stuff, and they're also making new Marines. Mm-hmm.
And please let me know in Discord, guys. I am not aware of the Carcharodon lore because it's so recent, or sorry, old, including anything mentioning they have Primaris Marines. Because the last interaction, they've appeared in Leviathan, but still, I just don't know. Anyway, but we're going to debate their gene seed later. But in order to do that, we need to talk as much as possible about how they act and they function. And because I think those are the greatest hints as to what the Carcharodons really are. So let's talk about their mission. And this is wild, by the way. So the Carcharodons are banished to dark space by their Primarch, whom they call the Forgotten One. What great affront did they do? No one knows. But what we do know is it had to do with the fury and the furor, which was they engaged the enemies of mankind. Now, I say that, and I want that to sink in for a minute. Pre-heresy, this small group of space marines were so violent and so aggressive in hunting down the enemies of the Emperor that it was decided that it's better if we just sent them over there. So violent in the defense of the Emperor in an organization that included the Space Wolves, the Fists, and the Fists were nasty during the pre-heresy, Blood Angels, Dark Angels, World Eaters, and Night Lords. All of them exist, and they went, no, these guys can't be around anymore. Send them somewhere else. So they probably weren't super cool. In effect, from what I can glean, is they were fervently loyal, but couldn't control their impulses. Kind of like the War Dogs, who later became the World Eaters during the Great Crusade. But maybe more like Thunder Warriors is what I'm kind of leaning into them. I think that's one of my theories on them, is they may have Thunder Warrior gene seed in there. Because they're just so violent and so aggressive that, yeah, they could claim lands and conquer foes, but there's nothing left to claim afterwards because the survivors wanted nothing to do with the Imperium, if there even were survivors. So my theory, or it's actually written down, in an effort to spare them what is the inevitable wrath of the Emperor or Malkador, their Primarch went, yeah, you guys got to get out of town. Now, I should mention, when we talk about this history of them being exiled by their Primarch back in the pre-heresy days, there is a bit of conflict there. Some things have them actually being kicked out in the 32nd millennia. Some things have them at the outbreak of the Horus heresy. It's moved around a little bit. The stuff I'm quoting is some of the more kind of more recent stuff that I've read showing that, and also lines up honestly more logically. The idea of them being kicked out so late, but there's no records of them, doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Thing is that they are the, I know, and I'm taking a stand on this. They were the space sharks. The they share all the common things with that. They just are the space sharks, yeah, which were super early.
Yeah, that was an early one. It doesn't make sense that it'd be later, given that there also weren't a lot of Primarchs later too. So when did the Primarch kick them out? Because most of the Primarchs were gone by M32. So it also affects the cool thing about the Carcharodons is that a lot of their history is redacted. So people never really know unless...
And the first thing that they officially tell you about is during the Astropath Wars, which were in the 32nd millennium.
Yeah, but not much. We just know that they existed during
the Astropath Wars. I'm saying that's the first
thing they came back into the galaxy during that period. Which, by the way, Astropath Wars, just so you guys know, there's a thing called the Astropath Wars. That's all we know about them. It's the most... Yep. It is maybe the most redacted thing in all of the Imperium. There was a war. It probably involved astropaths because it was called the Astropath War. But we're not even sure of that. We actually don't even know that much. Cool little side one. But let's talk about what they are doing out in the far side of the galaxy. They are out in the far side of the galaxy prosecuting a war against every enemy of the Imperium.
Every enemy of the Imperium.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're not picking and choosing. They're, yes.
Yeah. But also, and I find this personally fascinating, we've heard stories before of Space Marine factions or other groups being set on a war of atonement, where they have to go out somewhere, perform some Sisyphean task, and either die in the process, but if they don't die, they're allowed to rejoin the Imperium.
They come back into the Emperor's loving embrace.
Yeah, the Carcharodons are just, you guys live out there now. That is where you are. Don't
care. And also, we're totally cool with this. All we wanted to do was wreck face.
Yeah, exactly.
Forever.
Oh, yeah. And let's talk about how they wreck face, because they are a mix of Raven Guard, World Eater, and Dark Angel, if I'm being honest, which is pretty badass. So first off, stealth. They're using 30K tech a lot of times to keep themselves and their fleets totally hidden to the last minute possible. One thing I always tease Brad about is in 8th edition, we had a codex mistake with the Raven Guard, where you were able to...
Assault Centurions can infiltrate.
I think
that's totally normal, just because those guys are mobile fortresses doesn't mean that they can't be sneaky.
Yeah. The Carcharodons actually could have pulled that off. That's how sneaky they are. They are known for incredible scouting operations. Actually, being pretty... They don't really use heavy equipment, but heavy troops into areas and doing stuff. They also use their scout abilities very well. They have a large number of neophytes, you know, aka teenagers.
They also use a shit ton of scouts. They deploy so many more scouts than normal forces do. Because not only do they figure out what they're going to do, they sneak up, they use surgical strikes, but their scouts are supposed to be part of that hand-to-hand attack.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, they might be a more melee army than Blood Angels, if I'm being honest.
Crazy.
But what's amazing about the scout piece is how they use it. So they go out and they scout looking for any weakness in the enemy. And what they do is, once they figure out what the weakness is, with a lightning level quickness, they attack and try to force a breach. If they discover that the resistance, they were wrong about anything, they immediately pull back and disappear, reanalyze what they just did, and then hit a different spot to break through. This is a thing that we talk about Space Marines doing a lot, but a lot of the stories they don't. Cough, Space Wolves. I'm already going, shut up. And they go. But what's cool about them is they actually will pull back and then pick a new spot. What's terrifying about them is when they do get a breach, they pour through the breach and just completely slaughter everything inside there. The Carcharodons, and it's written, do not ask for, nor will they grant surrender of a foe. They are there to kill and will not stop until everything.
I was saying, they're like, hey, we always have so much extra room. You know, the place where we're supposed to put prisoners, but we don't take any of them.
Yeah, that's just the section over there. It's not even from the lights on. It's not worth their time. And the cool thing is, we've been talking about this, they do possess ranged weapons, but they're a close combat army. Chainswords, lightning claws specifically, are their favorite. Cutting down foes, really creating as much blood and havoc as possible. They don't really even use vehicles very much because, candidly, they're just stealthy. Land Raiders are not stealthy. Even Rhinos and Razorbacks, not stealthy.
I did think this when I read, while we're reading our notes before we did this, of how do I not have a Carcharodon's army? They play exactly like I play.
Oh, yeah.
All infantry, super ninja strikes, brutal.
They're very similar to the World Eaters in their attack, although the one key difference, and I'm going with original World Eaters, not, you know, obviously not Chaos World Eaters. Original World Eaters, they would do a lot of blood and horror and like horror in their attacks. And it was kind of a warning to other people, like, hey, you don't want this to happen to you, right? The Carcharodons, it's not a warning. This is just how they do stuff.
Yeah. You're like, are you trying to warn people? I don't even know what you're talking about.
One of my favorite things the Carcharodons do is actually ship-to-ship battle. It's the same technology actually the World Eaters use. They have these like large chain guns on their ships, for lack of a better phrase, and they shoot harpoons into the ship next to them and then pull that ship close and then run into the ship and kill everybody. That's their preferred method of space combat, is...
Which is nothing wrong with that. I love everything about, you know what? I'm starting to care Carcharodon's army.
I know it really is. The more you read about them, you're like, these guys are awesome. The creepiest part about them, though, is how they fight.
I think that you need to say epic creepy. You're not doing it justice.
This is terrifying, but it's cool as hell.
Yeah. Also, when your current chapter master is known to almost never talk, and when he does, it's in a whisper, because your entire chapter does all their murder in silence, so he never needs to speak louder than a whisper.
Yeah,
that's crazy people talk.
Yeah, when in combat, no matter how loud and crazy the battle gets, the Carcharodons are silent. They'll vox to each other a little bit, just communication of go left, but that's it. The only thing you hear in a Carcharodon assault is their armor and their weapons, and of course, the other side.
Yeah, I'll say, anybody that fights with them, though, thinks it's banana pants weird.
Oh, that's terrifying. Now, let's get to the best part about them, which is why neither Brad nor I have one of their armies, because Terminators suck on the tabletop. But Carcharodon Terminators do not. They still suck on the tabletop, but in the lore, they do not. All Space Marine chapters have Terminators, and they're always the most elite. But the Carcharodons, I think their Terminators push into just Staren elite. And they call them, by the way, the Red Brethren. First off, they have a modified suit of Terminator armor, which is just covered in runes.
Hold on. Let's talk about this first, because I want to set this up to talk about how vicious they are. They're called the Red Brethren. Hey, John, why are they called the Red Brethren when they are in full white armor?
Because
as soon as they get there, they hand to hand and they are covered in blood.
Yeah.
That's why they're the Red Brethren. Because I love the fact that you're like, they're the Red Brethren. But that's a white Terminator. They're all white.
Yeah. You're give them a minute.
Yeah.
Give them a minute. They'll fix that. They use, and these Terminators are, again, to Brad's point, heavy melee. They all use relic weaponry, which is, if you want to think what that means, in 10th edition, you can have an enhancement on like your characters. These guys have it on every single Terminator using just insane light, usually lightning claws primarily. I'm actually not aware of them using very many thunder hammers. I think they're mostly lightning claws and chain swords.
Yeah.
They're also, the even cooler thing about them from the lore is that they're both Terminators, but they're also like Space Marine chaplains, because only the most Carcharodon-y of the Carcharodons can become a Red Brethren.
I love everything about that one. Yeah. Carcharodon-y of the Carcharodons. Yeah. Well done on that, sir.
They believe in the mission of the Carcharodons more than anyone else, and they deploy to battle not just as battle support, but also as battle supervisors. One of the main ones they do is a Red Tithe. So when Red Tithe is happening, the Red Brethren deploy and they take up observational posts to make sure that the tithe goes well and making sure that the people performing the tithe are following directions correctly. So this can actually means that they will come into conflict with the Carcharodons themselves, because just like with a chaplain in a legion, they might deem a captain, or in their case, a company master, not doing the job well enough, and they'll just come relieve them of command in the middle of a Red Tithe.
I am a big fan. Another reason to collect and have an army of these is because they have some of the most badass titles of anybody.
Shade Lord.
Yeah. Shade Lord is a chapter master. Yeah. Reaper Prime.
Yeah.
A Void Brother, which is just a regular. If you're a regular guy, you're a Void Brother.
Yeah.
It's just, they have such like sinister titles. It's just wild.
Yeah. One of the coolest things about the Red Brethren is teleport strike. So all Space Marines can teleport. These guys don't teleport 9 inches away. Let's just put it that
all.
Way.
No, not all Space Marines. Terminators.
What's that? Sorry, all Space Marine Terminators. Yeah, all Space Marine Terminators have the ability to teleport strike. And the lore, they do it differently to hop some to better effectiveness than the other. The Red Brethren do it with horrifying efficiency, coming in. Yeah,
they go arm's length away from people.
Yeah. They teleport in and then immediately slaughter something that they're standing next to, do more slaughter, then teleport away and teleport back down elsewhere. They are rough. And there's stories, I forget which one it was, but there was a story where it was a bunch of Imperials were about to be overrun by chaos, and all of a sudden they just smelled ozone, and a bunch of Carcharodon Terminators appeared, killed everything, and then teleported away. And everyone just out sitting around going like, what just happened? Now, another weird one about them, and I guess it's cool, are their librarians. Because obviously they recruit and train psykers like anyone else does. But their psykers actually have 2 additional powers. This is more like a D&D thing for me. So if you're a wizard aligned with Carcharodons. Yeah.
Plus a lot of their psychers are badass in the books. Like Manoa Fowl is like a bad dude, but
their psychers are bad people is the other thing too. Like they're real bad people. They're all bad people, but they've got these 2 powers. And I find them to be kind of funny, because the one power is called the Depths, which is the power that creates fear in somebody, making you, they describe it as it makes you all of a sudden believe you're in a giant watery expanse that's ice cold and just sucking all the energy out of you. And all you do is panic, allowing them to easily kill you. But then the second one is 100% a finishing move in a video game. In which,
well, it is called the Rending Maw.
Yeah. In which case they cast a power and the ground around you reforms into a giant shark that comes up out of the ground and eats you and then goes back into the ground. That's
yeah,
all
it's
I
a summoning.
Got. It's hey, yeah.
You just cast a summoning from Final Fantasy.
Yeah. It's very
I was gonna hit you with a Freet or Titan, but instead I hit you with a shark.
Yeah. It's a little odd. It's fine.
I think it's awesome. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Now, one other thing about them is what they look like, because we haven't really discussed this very much. So the Carcharodons are where it's a gray armor, and they carry a bunch of icons and jewelry. Their armor's, in effect, it's a bunch of like etchings and flares. I'm being honest, the first time I read this, I was thinking tchotchkes, but not Joanna, because she's
love Joanna.
Yeah, it's like look, Brian.
Like he wants to have, yeah, the minimum amount's 11.
No,
but you could want to put more on there want to.
Yeah, it's like you got to be like Brian, you got to load it up all the way. But yeah, it's not buttons and stickers, although you could do that if you're building the army. It's usually depictions of aquatic predators.
I kind of want tchotchke stickers all over my army.
I'll be honest, when I read this first time, I actually groaned because it was so lame. Like, yeah, they decorate themselves in runes of ancient aquatic predators. They live in the great expanse of space. I understand they're trying to do this shark thing, but also I want to point out there were no oceans on Earth during the Horus Heresy or anything because they all got melted during the Techno-Barbarian Wars. So it's kind of weird.
Still the best name of a war.
Yeah. Now, we should also mention what they look like outside of the armor. So, as a result, their gene seed's pretty prone to mutation and degeneration. So, they physically do look a little bit different. Their skin, and this is varied a little bit in the codexes, but it's written more recently being extremely pale to the point, like, grayish, almost maybe purplish. They look almost dead, like a dead body, which is probably not helped by the fact that they are never in sunlight. Because they live inside of a ship where there is no sun because they're out in the void of space. So their skin pushes towards translucent with a purplish hue. But what's the bigger piece about them is that their eyes, which are completely black. So good news, if you got to paint them and you, like me, don't like painting the eyes on your space marines, just black. You don't have to do anything else. Just make their eyes black and you are lore accurate, because it's the whole eyeball too, not the iris, the entire eyeball, making them look freaking terrifying. Now, from there, what I wanted to finish up with is...
you're not selling how sketchy they look. I want to give you a quote.
Go.
From one of the books. Tiberius, when his face is revealed, it's a corpse-white nightmare with half the bones of his face exposed in a bloodless grimace while his eyes are soulless, depthless black. That's a direct quote from the Red Tide. These guys, other Marines, think these dudes are scary.
Well, what I like is there are planets where they show up to save the populace. And again, let's think about how that experience goes. You're under assault. Xeno, chaos, rebellion, whatever it is. The Carcharodons are going to show up in power armor. So they show up fully masked. You see gray power armor. They've got a shark on them, which you don't know what a shark is, but we'll skip that problem. And, you know, they go through and do the whole thing. And afterwards, it's, oh, let's go thank our saviors. Off pops the helmet. The dude may be speaking, and we say a whisper. It's more like someone who's totally lost like their voice, or maybe like Marlon Brando in Godfather. I think
they give him bits. His voice is from the grave.
The Undertaker. All right, now I'm back in. Don't tease me with that much of a good time. But yeah, so that's, and then they take their helmet off. They speak like that, and then they take their helmet off, and you're talking to what looks like the largest corpse you've ever seen, with pure like depth of space black eyes.
Soulless black eyes, thank you very much.
Who then informs you that he'd like to have some of your people, please.
Yeah, it's probably going to be great for everybody that leaves with that guy.
Ugh. All right,
he seems trustworthy. I like the cut of his jib.
But let's finish this up with what we think the Carcharodons are. And before Brad and I jump into our personal theories and the origins, I'll give you what does exist in the lore out there. Most of the lore revolves around them being Ravenguard. And this is because, and we have not a Ravenguard cast yet, but before Korax took over the Ravenguard, the original founding of them stemmed from a pretty dark past. The Terran-born Ravenguard hailed from what's called the Asiatic Dust Fields. They were masters of stealth, but they were really brutal. They would infiltrate opponents. They'd butcher them in the night. Their actions were
and they were known to lords.
Yeah,
I was saying, they also butchered everybody in the night, not their enemies, just... If are you in this general vicinity? Well, you're getting killed tonight.
Yeah, and what happens is Korax then comes in. Korax didn't have a great upbringing, but it's better than this, and just says, no, you guys aren't doing that anymore. And there's it's actually written in there, there's a bit of a conflict, because Korax couldn't convert all of the chapter over. And some members of the chapter just disappeared during this era. And so the belief is that the Carcharodons were part of this, where he just looked at them and they could not do what he wanted them to do. But because they were Terran-born space marines, they still were incredibly loyal to the Emperor. So he had a choice of, do I just want to kill off these workers or send them to the other side of the galaxy and let them do it out there where it won't be a problem for the Emperor? So he does that.
Weave in a little bit of my theory in this, because they talk about them being Ravenguard, and this is why I like the time frame of them being, my personal, of them being before the Horus Heresy, and or at the exact same time, because you can't be a successor chapter of the Raven Guard after the Raven Guard goes down to Korax and 50 guys.
Exactly.
After the drop pod master, drop site massacre. So I feel that this makes more sense to me. And none of this is canon because they're, again, shrouded in mystery. Mm-hmm. But this is what I think. They also, they work as Savage Raven Guard. They, all the stuff they do.
Terms. I mean, the Shade Lord, that's a term they use.
I feel like 100% they're a successor of that, you know, but because they left before, because it doesn't make any, again, that's why you either have this timeline or a much, much later timeline, because it makes no sense during.
But there is some conflict there. The first one is, there's a book where there's a group called the Ashen Claws. The Ashen Claws are an exiled. They are a true exiled. They're a renegade. They are a renegade loyalist force. It's kind of cool. They actually are. They did enough bad. The Imperium did kick them out. But they still are not Chaos. So they're out there just also fighting Chaos and Xenos. But they're much more solo than the Carcharodons are. They refer to the Carcharodons as not brothers. They refer to the Carcharodons as actually being more akin to the World Eaters and having a history there. Also, the Carcharodons hold no affinity or connection to any other Space Marine legions. But my favorite one of the, we'll call it canon conflict, but it's written in conflict. The Carcharodons will show up and with the Death Watch every now and then and say, hey, I'm here to fulfill my duty.
This cracks me up so much because I just think of this as doing the Buscemi. Hello, fellow Space Marine. Fellow Death Watch. Yeah. I'm here to do my duty. Who the hell's that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just Steve. What? Like,
what is happening? Why is Steve here? And he's like, guys, look, Steve can fight. So I say we let Steve in.
Yeah. Like, everybody else comes with these writs of all the things that they did to become part of the Death Watch. And then Steve just showed up and went, yeah, man, I got the email and I came. They're like, no, there was no email, Steve. Yeah, I got it. I was on the email. Yeah, you should check.
You're in your Death Watch fortress. There's a knock at the door and you open it and there's a space marine there. Yeah, I'm here to do this thing for a bit. And then they leave. But the reason I bring that up is that one of the Carcharodons serving with the Death Watch died. And so when the Death Watch apothecary went to grab the gene seed, they noticed this is chimeric. It's got mixes of numerous different
everything.
Yeah.
And it was a stew.
Yeah. Which leads the question of, are they an off chapter where there actually was a mixture? Were they an experiment? Or is just 10,000 years of degradation in the gene seed makes it not really clear. But Brett, I'll let you go. Like, so you had your theory already. You want to add anything else to where you think that they're from?
Yeah, my biggest thing is I think that they are as close to chaos as you can be, because what we were talking about with the degradation of the gene seed, they've had to jury rig effectively the gene seed over, again, a 10,000 year span. I think that I like that they're shrouded in mystery, and I don't want to know the exact, because I like the debate of this. But I think that their origins, I can't see them not being Raven Guard initially, because
I disagree. I think they're Night Lords. I think they're Night Lords.
I think
they're either Night Lords or World Eaters, because the reason probably more likely World Eaters.
See, I don't think they're. I could get the Night Lords. I don't think they're World Eaters at all, because of the way they talk about their Primarch and their success and everything else.
But
the World Eaters don't use any of those terms.
They don't. But think about when this happened. The reason they're World Eaters is, first off, the way they fight, which is because the Night Lords are not that good. The Night Lords are good at fighting a combat against overwhelming odds in their favor. The world eaters care not. I'm going through this gap and killing everything. But when we did the World Eaters cast, the one thing I want to bring up is the World Eaters, remember, got broken up early on. They had their own almost Codex Astartes moment by the Emperors. This is well before Angron ever got there, right? And they were split up into different groups. And the ones that we know are the War Dogs, were the biggest one. But my theory is that the forgotten one who exiled them was Malkador. It actually was that you had a chunk of these just, because remember, the World Eaters are being pulled from all over Terra. There was no one area. But if you pull a bunch from one spot that were like the Ashen or the Asiatic Wastes, again, I'm going way off the deep end on John theory, but my theory is they're actually a World Eater group that were good at stealth. But because, like World Eaters, they just could not be controlled. Yeah. Malkador, but think of it. This is why
I'll give you part of it. If you're going to go the chaos type thing on that, the Night Lords for me make more sense because
don't fight.
I know, but that's the whole thing. You take those guys, that offshoot, that's why they get sent out.
Yeah. So the reason I like this World Eater idea, though, is because if you think about, we talked about this earlier, they're able to show up anywhere and just take humans like it's nothing. That's a weird ability to have, unless the person who said you could do that was Malkador. And who else would take a group of drooling murderers and just say, all right, go fight over there and kill everything over there, than Malkador? That is a Malkador move.
Your whole Malkador thing could still be a Raven Guard thing, though.
It could be.
He could have just sent Raven Guard. I like the iconology and everything. Iconology they use is Raven Guard-esque, and the fighting things that they use are Raven Guard-esque.
I'll be honest, this is probably just
plus me. I also like Raven Guard. So.
Yeah, that's actually why I'm doing it. I'm the opposite. I don't like Raven Guard, and if I'm going to build an army, I don't want it to be a Raven Guard army.
Right. And at the time of this recording, my current army that I just put on the board was Raven Guard. So
good for you. All right. But with that, we're going to conclude this coverage of the Carcharodons. Next week, we're going to actually not talk about them at all, but we'll talk to them again in 2 weeks, because next week we're beginning the Badab War. And I was doing the research for this, and the Badab War is massive. And I realized it might not be pronounced Badab. And for those of you who don't like how I'm pronouncing it, bad news. You're going to have to listen to me say it wrong for an hour.
400 times.
Yeah, because next week we're going to talk about the beginning of the Badab War. It might be Badab. I'll say now. For those of you who are saying I'm wrong, it's Badab. Fine. I will be honest. We're going to record the next one of these before this one publishes. So all of your comments on how to pronounce it better will fall on deaf ears. I apologize. So anyway, until then, John Barsotti, Brad Chester.
This guy.
See you all next week.